we're doing something slightly different, actually, and that is that we've got this morning called Life Changer. In fact, you might be here because someone has invited you along to hear their story. And Life Changer, this is a morning where we would normally read the Bible and have a preacher sermon based on that passage. Today, what we're going to do is few different people are going to come and share what God has done in their life, how God has changed their life in some way over the last year. And I love these mornings because we get to hear people's stories, and these encourage us and they equip us. And when at the right time, we'll invite them up, and I'd love you to give them a round of applause as we do, because it is nerve-wracking talking in front of a couple of hundred people. And so there's lots of things for us all to be thankful for, actually. From the air we breathe, from the clothes we have, from the families that we've been placed in. Lots to be thankful for. And even if we are in tough situations, relationally or with our health or our jobs or our income, actually there is always things for us to be thankful to God for. In fact, knowing God means that regardless of the situation that we live in, we can know that He is with us, that He walks with us. He is side by side with us through this journey. He never promised that life would be easy. He never promised that. What He did promise was that He would never leave our side. He will always be with us and walk through us in those circumstances. And so I love this Life Changer morning because it's where we get to hear real stories of people in our church that have gone through different circumstances, different situations. And they're an opportunity for us to recognize that life is tough, but God is faithful. And when we trust in Him and walk with Him, that He can help us and see us through it. In fact, as a church, over this last year or so, lots has happened. We've employed 3 new staff members, which has been fantastic, with Steve Blaber coming on staff. Where he is. Here he is. Hey. Simon Taylor, who leads our operations team and is our operations manager. And Joe Leach. Oh, that seems like it was just like years and years ago, but he came on 6 months ago or so. And that's really blessed us. We've supported Syrian refugee families, and another one came about a month ago. We've raised lots of money to start our 4th site, to do lots of things, to give money to poor in the Philippines, to continue to do all the great work that we do as Grace Church. We've continued to meet in 3 locations, and soon that'll be 4. God has been good to us in many ways. We've also got much to look forward to in this new year as we get ready to send those going off to heaven in a month's time or so, and including raising new leaders, reaching our communities. Lots to be looking forward to. And I'm very aware that for some people, this year, 2018, has already been tough. And you're already going through tough circumstances, difficult issues. Finding that either you're unwell or your loved ones are, going through difficult relationship problems. I'm aware that there's been people in our church, in this site, that have had a difficult year and are going into it has been tough. And I just wanted to take a moment to focus on some words from Paul, who wrote to the Philippian church when he was in prison. He was facing persecution. He was going through a tough time. And he starts off his book in Philippians 1 saying this. Oh, yeah, if you can go to my PowerPoint. Saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul starts by praising God. And you know what? That's exactly what we've done this morning. We've started our time together by praising God and by giving Him all the glory, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We've given Him praise because He's always worthy of it. And regardless of where we are, that's what we do. And where does this hope come from? Where does this hope come from that He gives us? It comes through and from Jesus. And we receive it by His Holy Spirit. And so as we worship Him and His Holy Spirit has come and met amongst us, I know that He's been meeting with us as people. And He's just helping us to reflect on the situations that we're going through in a new way as He renews our mind and transforms us. And we can have a hope because we know that what God has started with us, how when God sent His Son to die for our shame and our guilt, when He nailed that to a cross, we know that having done that for us, that surely He will be with us through this life and he will stand with us, and he will work what he started in us to completion. It might be that this morning you're not a Christian. And if that's the case, I want to encourage you to listen to the stories that these guys are going to share. We've got about 8 or 9 today. I want to encourage you to listen to these stories of how God has made an impact in their life recently and over their lives. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to hear these different stories, and they all know, they've been briefed, they've got sort of 3 or 4 minutes each, and I'll let them know if they're running over time, no pressure. And I just want to encourage you to listen, and it's good for us as we do listen to their stories. What it does, it helps to build faith in our lives that actually God can continue to work in our lives. And the result might not be the same, that's okay. But what we'll know, the common thread for all of them, is that they've all known that God has been with them, even though some of them might still be going through those tough times. So, shall I shut up? Are we ready? Ready to get on with it? Cool. So, let's get started then. First of all, I'd like to introduce to you Kylie Blackman. Let's give her a big round of applause, shall we?
Hi, everyone. So the last year for me has been quite tough and challenging. I was thinking about it. Often when people have had testing years, at the end of the year, they'll say things like, oh, I'll be glad to see the end of that year, or I'm going to make the next year about me, I'm going to put myself first. But for myself, I was just so thankful that I'd had God in my corner, because without him, I wouldn't be as strong as I'm feeling today and wouldn't be stood up here. There are just a couple of battles that I'd like to share with you that I have been through over the last year. So firstly, my dad's had a difficult time of it with his health. So it began in the early part of last year. He was in a lot of pain in his stomach and he was struggling with digesting food. It was affecting him in a big way. He was spending a lot of time in hospital, seeing doctors, having different tests done, every one of which was coming back clear, meaning we had no answers, which was quite frustrating. After ruling everything else out, his doctor had a feeling that it may be pancreatic cancer. So biopsies were done in the summer. After a couple of weeks of waiting, which were longest weeks of our lives, the biopsy results came back completely clear. So during this time, I'd shared it with my Grace family, and many of you prayed for my dad, and I just want to say a huge thank you for this, because amazingly, since the day that he had those results, he's had no pain and no discomfort in his stomach, and I truly believe that through the power of prayer, my dad was healed by God. Thank you. And also last year, so my second battle has been personally with my mental health, particularly over the last 6 months, where I've just been so bogged down with feelings of anxiety, worthlessness, not feeling as though I belong or I'm worth anything. And for some of that time, I did reject God because I just didn't think I deserved his love. So depression is something that I've lived with for the round sort of 10 years or so. And during this time, when I've had low moments, there have been triggers or reasons for these. But the last 6 months, I've been suffering quite badly, but just haven't been able to pinpoint any reasons. And there have been 2 moments where God has clearly spoken to me throughout this time. And so the first one was at a Students in 20s talk. And I had a revelation where I was reminded of the pure joy we can have knowing that God sent his only son to die on the cross for us. And because of this, whatever we are facing, we are not on our own. And that's everlasting. That will never be undone. And then the second one was at the Children's Workers Conference in November. And there were encounter stations there. And I was drawn, first of all, to a table where there were luggage labels, which were turned down. And they had positive words and phrases on them. But so as they were turned down, you just couldn't see what was on them. And the idea was that there was a member of the ministry team that you prayed with, and you thought about how you label yourself negatively, pray about that, give it to God, and then you go back to the table, you pick up a label, and that is how God has labeled you positively. The label I picked up had the word loved on it, and that moment was a real turning point for me. I have that label with me every day, just in case I need reminding how precious I am to God. And so during this time, my doctor thought it was a good idea for me to have a mental health assessment, which I had a few weeks ago. I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder. And for me, the diagnosis wasn't scary. I'm not sad about it. In fact, I'm relieved and I'm encouraged because I know that God only challenges us as far as he knows that we can cope with. So he knows I can cope with having this, and he's in it with me. And above all else, he loves me eternally.
Stay here. Well done for sharing, Kylie. You know, it's so important, isn't it, that as we walk through this life, that, you know, we take medical advice. We go to the doctors. We do that, and hand in hand, we also pray, don't we? And we stand with God, and we pray into these situations. And I just want to just take a moment to pray. It might be that you've just relate to some of what she's going, you know, Kylie's been going through. And let's just take a moment to pray. We won't do this after everyone, but for this one, I just want, you know, feel it's right to. Father God, I just want to thank you, Father, for Kylie's honesty as she's just walked through this season. And Lord, I thank you for how you have worked in your healing power. That's just amazing to hear. And I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us, Lord God, thank you that as we come before you, we are loved by you. Lord, we are called loved ones. And I thank you too, Lord God, that you know, Kylie has known, Father, your hand with her as she's been walking through her diagnosis. And I thank you, Lord God, for the medical advice. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. And I thank you, Lord God, for your standing with her through it. And I just pray for anyone here today who might be going through a similar thing. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for wisdom to the doctors. Pray, Lord, help them to see them and to face it head on, knowing that you are standing right with them as they walk through this journey. Amen. Amen. Well done. Well done, Kylie. Wonderful. Okay, next up, we've got Wendy Owen. Let's give Wendy a big round of applause.
Can I use that? It was on January the 5th last year that I first heard God saying to me that he was going to make me brave. I know the date because I'd just started going through a book of daily readings. This is what I read. It was a comment on Isaiah 41, verse 10. I will strengthen you. When called to serve or suffer, we take stock of our strength and find it to be less than we thought and less than we need. But let not our hearts sink while we have such a word as this to fall back on. God has strength omnipotent, and his promise is that he will give it to us. There is no telling how much power God can put into a man. When divine strength comes, human weakness is no more a hindrance. Do we not remember seasons of labor and trial? Thank you, where we received such special strength that we wondered at ourselves. In the midst of danger, we were self-contained, and in sickness, we were patient. The fact is that God gives unexpected strength when unusual trials come upon us. My own weakness makes me shrink, but God's promise makes me brave. Later the same day, I was listening to a Christian radio program, and they played a new song which caught my attention. The title of the song was, I'll Make You Brave. I can remember entering into a conversation with God, asking him if that was what he was going to do for me, not really thinking that it would be possible. As I felt so vulnerable and low. Only 6 weeks earlier, my husband had died, and I felt anything but brave at the thought of a brand new year by myself, with all the challenges that would bring. I remember continuing to talk to God about this over the next weeks and days, and just felt that he was telling me to trust his word and let that strengthen me. He has reminded me again and again over a year of the many promises that are in the Bible that are still true today and are still there for us to apply to our lives. Promises like he will never leave me nor forsake me. He will give me rest. He will wipe away every tear from my eye. He will hear me when I cry out to him. That goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He will guide me and be my strong tower. He will be my rock. There are many more, and I feel blessed that I've had an opportunity to experience them and put them into practice, even under such sad circumstances. I actually came to realise that there isn't one emotion or circumstance or situation that isn't covered by the promises that God had made to us even today. God has placed me in a wonderful family. My three kids have been very supportive, even from the distances that they live. But there are also some of you in this church, and you know who you are, that have gone out of your way and totally been there for me. We've sat in all the coffee shops in Chichester, and I've cried, and you've produced the tissues, and you've still been there. I thank God for you all.
Incredible. Just amazing faithfulness, isn't it? Amazing faithfulness. God is good. Nathan, let's have Nathan. Let's welcome Nathan up.
So my testimony comes from a time where I'm admittedly not very proud of it. So I work at a charity shop, and one of the jobs I was given was to go through these old coins. So you go through all these old coins, and one of the coins I saw I knew was very rare. And in an action that I'm not proud of at all, I took it for myself because I found out that we weren't allowed to take them. So I selfishly took it for myself, and I put it on the side, and at first I was telling my mum and dad and Sam and Pip, like, oh, you know, I've got this really... And they were like, is that really the right thing to do, though? Did you ask? And I was like, no. And so I kept feeling really confronted by it. So I left it on my desk for ages, and it actually stopped me going to the charity shop to volunteer because I just felt so ashamed. I thought, I can't go in there knowing I've taken something from them that wasn't mine. But eventually, after seeking counsel from Sam and Pip and also Dave Thompson, they told me what had to be done, which was you have to take it back and admit. I was not very willing to do that because I was absolutely terrified of the consequences, because I thought if they think I've taken that, then will they think I've taken other things? And I was almost ready to go in and, you know, they'd be ready to, you know, fire me, basically. So I prayed to God the night before. I prayed earnestly, and I prayed the morning of, and as I walked there, and I went in, and I went to Lynn, who's the manager, and said, oh, can I speak to you? And I spoke to her, and I said, I'm ever so sorry, but, you know, my conscience... and because I'm a Christian, tells me that I've got to give this to you, and I fully understand if you want to investigate further or fire me. And she stood there for a long time, and she said, well, thank you very much for bringing this to me, and I really do appreciate that. And I'm waiting for what we're going to have to say goodbye. And she says, but I'm really happy you brought it in. Could you please come in next Saturday and volunteer again? And she said, was that the thing keeping you from coming back? And I said, yes. And she said, well, let's put that behind us and let's go forward and, you know, let's work on redeeming that. And I thought, what a picture of God's grace. Just, you know, I did not deserve that at all. And I was walking out the shop and I was trying not to look all weepy in front of the customers. But it was just so amazing. And I thought it was just an amazing example how God showed me grace last year. So yeah, thank you.
Well done, mate. Well done. Well done. You know, and God does guide us, doesn't He? And His Holy Spirit and the people amongst us, and we, you know, guide us. And when we step out and we follow Him, actually, you know, amazing things happen. And whether he kind of whether Nathan got fired or not actually isn't the point, is it? It's the fact that he obeyed God was the win there. So well done. Keep pressing in. Good. Let's have Judith Coben. Are you here? Hey. Let's invite Judith.
Hi there. I'm sure that most of you haven't seen me before because I've just come to Grace Church recently. So I missed out on all those whoops and screams of joy, but maybe when I've finished you can... Plus, I went to the Lord to find out what I should say, and I got into what I'm going to say, and then I thought I heard someone say, your testimony from 2017. So I went to check with the elders or the leadership, members of the leadership, and said, but this is the situation. I, you know, my testimony is not really from last year only. No, that's it. It's fine. And I had this idea of a scenario where on the board would be testimonies from 2017. And mine would be from, you know, years past. And then I thought, no, it's fine. It won't be like that. So there are so many ways that you can, you know, take your testimony from your life. And each time it varies. And so you have to go to the Lord and ask him what he wants you to say. And I thought that the Lord wanted to tell you about when I've managed to be obedient and listen to him. And how he wants us to work for him. And there are many parables, if you think about it, about the Lord as somebody whom we are working for. So you think of the parable of the talents and the people being employed in the marketplace, the workers in the vineyard, and even the prodigal son and his brother are working for the Father. And that's what our lives are. Now, after the birth of my first child, my husband and I were living on a very remote farm in Zimbabwe. And it was wonderfully peaceful. I can't tell you. It was a beautiful time. I had a lot of time to myself because of the baby and her routines and things. And so I was praying constantly and seeking the Lord. And he began to show me his plan to plant a church on a neighboring farm for the workers and their families. And in fact, my baby daughter was the first contact, the first person to make a contact. She was very small. She was crawling about all over the place. And she crawled through the fence and into the workshop, where there was a manager who was a Christian and a wonderful person. And in that way, I got to know him. And he was our first, you know, person to help us put this plan into action. And so gradually, the Lord provided everyone we needed. I wrote them down somewhere, and I can't see them on my notes. But we needed translators, and we needed a pastor, and we needed people to pass the word. And then finally, we needed people to come. And so the actual evening came when we had a crowd of excited families coming to their own church where they would be able to worship God. Praise the Lord. How wonderful is that? Later on, there was a similar situation, and again, I was available to him. And he began to speak to me about establishing a Christian school in our area because there weren't schools around about for our children to go to and for all the children to go to in the district. And he made his way plain for my husband and I and our friends to start a Christian school in our district, miraculously making everything available. We had nothing. So one amazing morning, we opened the doors of a fully equipped primary school in our area for 80 children. Praise the Lord. And this is how he's worked in my life, and this is how he works in all of our lives. When we confess our weakness, we just wait on him. Signs will come of, you know, contacts or things that he wants, and gradually he'll help us into it, making provision in every way. And so it's been. When I came to the UK, he made it possible for me to study further, to run Alpha courses, to do outreach, and so on. And we all know this is how he works. He longs for us to be available. And that's why I wanted to give my testimony along these lines. The only valuable things that you and I can do are those things that the Lord has been able to communicate to us. And that's only when we stop and listen. So I just want to say, and I say it to myself as well, because I am not proud of the time that I've wasted and the time that I continue to waste. And so this is me speaking to me as well. But come to the Father as a little child, and he'll show you what he wants and what you can do. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. But his will is done through us. So, God bless you. You're a wonderful church, and it's a joy to be here.
Well done. Well done to you. Well done. It's good, isn't it? Good to hear testimonies of, you know, a lifetime of serving the Lord and being faithful to him, and yet still an encouragement, you know, let's not waste any time, let's keep going, keep pressing in, keep seeing from him. Cool. Next one, Liz Leach. Let's give her a big, big round of applause. Come on, Liz. Liz has got a timer. Good.
Don't tell everyone.
I've
also got a tissue at the ready. Oh.
Well done. Oh, technology.
I don't have a printer, so Joe told me to use my iPad, but...
If you press that down.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Liz. I'm married to Joe, and we've got two little boys. Oh, thanks. I haven't started the timer. called Zeph. Zeph is 3, and Reuben is 18 months. The last 6 months have been a bit crazy for us as a family. I've known some of the most challenging moments of my life. Oh, I can't start crying already. And yet, I've also known God more closely than ever before and seen him bless us so incredibly, way, way more than I've got time to fit in this morning. One key way that God has blessed us is through people. So last August, Reuben had just turned 1, and we found ourselves in hospital with him because he was being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. The diagnosis actually followed a series of texts and phone calls with Joe's mum, who's a nurse, and a lady that I used to work for, who happens to be a paediatrician, a consultant paediatrician in diabetes. So having done all of that, we ended up in hospital. It turns out that Vanessa, the paediatrician, while I was looking for her 3 children for 3 years, she was actually training to end up looking after mine, which I just think is ridiculous, and I almost laugh about it because it's clearly God who did that work. Not only that, but she happened to be the paediatrician on call in the hospital that day, so she took us through the whole diagnosis, and she continues to be Reuben's paediatrician now. Throughout our stay in hospital, Jo and I felt such a strong peace and contentment that surprised us. And everywhere we looked, we just saw reassurance from him. Even just walking into the hospital the first moment, I saw someone that I knew who happened to be our assigned nurse, who happened to be a Christian, who happened to know someone in this church. It's just ridiculous. And I couldn't really stop being reassured by God wherever I looked. And people comment even now on how Jo and I seem to cope with it all so well. And I can assure you that without God, I wouldn't be coping very well at all. And it's only through him that I'm coping in any way. He's given us such a genuine peace that does go beyond all understanding. Two people who have been a particular blessing to us have been Mel and Neil Hall. Many of you will know them. Mel is actually also diabetic. And it was in their kitchen that we first pricked Reuben's finger to check whether he had diabetes. It was actually to rule it out. But instead, we stood there with a blood sugar result that was off the scale. And I'm so grateful to God that in that moment they were stood with us, because they immediately prayed for us and pointed us back to God. It's not a moment I'm going to forget quickly. They then looked after Zeph the next day. They have done on numerous occasions since, as have lots of our friends. And Mel sat with us while medical professionals spoke a lot of overwhelming information. Reuben's diagnosis didn't actually seem as scary when I looked at Mel, because I could see that good was going to come out of what we were facing. Other people, loads of people, quickly surrounded us over that time. Family looked after Zeph. Best mates produced McDonald's at the door of the hospital. We had endless prayers, prayed, texts, encouraging words, prophetic pictures, and it continues now. And it stirs my faith, because a lot of it comes from the church and from our church family. It lifts my eyes back to God when that happens, and that is sometimes what I need. So a second way that we were blessed in all of this has been through God's timing. Because 4 days before we were found in hospital, we were on a small island in Croatia, 2 hours from the mainland by a boat, with only 2 ferry crossings a day. So not the kind of place I'd have wanted to be, stuck with a 1-year-old being diagnosed at nose with diabetes. It would just have been a nightmare, absolutely a nightmare. Instead, we actually arrived at hospital with quite a well little child, quite thirsty and quite skinny at the time, but he was well in comparison to lots of children, and I know God was in that timing massively. Work-wise, Joe had just started working for the church, as Chris mentioned earlier, so he now had a boss, David, who actually cared for our family. Most bosses don't seem to, and he released Joe from work for as long as we needed to get to grips with all things diabetes, and there was a lot to get to grips with. Even the decade that we live in is a massive blessing, because the medical equipment that Reuben has is just phenomenal. It's free as well, and it makes a massive difference to the freedom that Reuben has to live, to eat like other people. And I am so grateful that he can eat an ice cream with his brother, because a lot of children 20 years ago would not have been able to do that. Having said all of this, all of these blessings, there's so many of them. They've come out of what has actually felt like a huge, huge battle at times, and that carries on now. I'm not going to pretend it's been easy. I've lost my place now. Oh, no. 1 minute. There's been moments where we felt pretty exhausted by it all, overwhelmed by the continual responsibility of having a child who is medically dependent on us. It can feel pretty weighty, and the future can be scary at times. The unceasing nature of it all can drain me like a sieve. And some mornings I wake up thinking, oh man, how am I going to get through today? But during those moments, I remind myself of all the blessings that I've already listed that God has poured out on us. I remind myself of verses like Psalm 16, verse 8, which say, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I remind myself that God is the one responsible for Reuben, for keeping him alive. It's not me. I remember that God is my strength, that he will equip me with all that I need. I remember that this is not it, that this life is not all there is, that one day Reuben won't have diabetes anymore because we're living for eternity. I remember that God has already brought and will continue to bring good out of this. There can be a lot of unpredictability, uncertainty, and frustration that comes with both the day-to-day and long-term management of diabetes, particularly in a 1-year-old. But one thing I'm certain of is that God will always be unshakable. He'll always be faithful. He'll always be with our family. He will always be a rock that we can cling to. He'll always be ahead of us on the journey. And he'll always be sovereign over my children's lives. He's not unstable like Reuben's blood sugars are. He's a constant provider of peace, of grace, of strength, of hope, of joy, of people who come alongside us. He's so good all the time. And I believe that out of these trials that he will bring great triumph.
Well done. Yeah, well done. Our next one is Denise. Come on, Denise. Come up.
For in order for me to explain what God has done for me over the past year, I need to take you right back to how I first felt when I first became a Christian. I became a Christian 5.5 years ago. And back in the beginning, when I first walked through Grace Church doors, I knew God had his work cut out. And I knew it was going to take a miracle for him to be able to heal me. I've been through a lot in life, which has left me with an awful lot of emotional baggage, which are better known as strongholds. I suffered from things like anorexia. I had suicidal thoughts and tendencies. I had anxiety disorder, and I felt inadequate against anybody I met, which left me feeling incredibly alone and isolated from the world. And one of the first things I prayed about when I first became a Christian was about my daughter, and can I have a friend, please? I felt so alone in life, and for such a long time, way before I even became a Christian. Years went past, and I prayed. I prayed for emotional healing. I prayed for friendships, and I couldn't see how God was going to brew any kind of breakthrough, but I had hope, and I hung on to my hope with God. I was so lucky, and I was so blessed with the Holy Spirit. That's what kept me strong and kept me going, and knew that God was there because of the way he came upon me every time that I was in worship. But even though I had that and I kept praying, there was still nothing. And I began to feel like God was absent from my life. Back in 2016, Steve did a preach about how we'd look upon God as our own fathers in our earthly life. And I always thought to myself, even though I'd heard this before, that wouldn't be me, because I knew God was almighty. And then the list came up on the board, and one of the words was absent. And my father was indeed absent from my life. And then I knew that that's exactly how I was starting to feel about God. And I went on to a journey to find God's love for me. And one of the things that Steve recommended for us to do was to read a book on spiritual slavery to sonship. And I read this book, and I could relate to this book. And the other thing was to do was to join a beta course. So I signed up to do a beta course and also to go to the Father Heart Conference and to West Point as well. Just before I joined the beta course and started the beta course, I prayed out loud to God. There have been a lot of sermons talking about how we should aim high. And I decided to aim high. I was 44 at the time, and I was being realistic. And one day I would like to think that I would actually one day get remarried. And I prayed out loud and I said to God, God, I'm just being realistic. I'm not really looking at the moment, but I would like to think that just one day I would meet someone, fall in love again, and get remarried. And I know this is going to take a little bit of a miracle. And just as I prayed that, I felt Jesus overwhelmingly agree with me, and I knew I was going to get remarried. Sorry, I've lost my place. About a month later, I started the beta course. It was much different from the other times that I'd done it, and I felt like I was getting a lot more out of the beta course. There was also a man on the beta course who I recognized previously from doing a testimony here. And after just a couple of weeks going along to the beta course, I started to feel immense attraction towards this man, something I hadn't felt in absolutely years. And I started to realize that rather than going to the beta course, I was starting to go to the beta course to actually see this guy. When the beta course ended, at the time I just thought I was going to let it go and not worry about it. I did add him on Facebook, but nothing more than that really happened. And then I got into conversations with Lois, who kept saying, Trevor, don't forget about Trevor. And I thought, I didn't even know she'd even realised, let alone noticed anything. And on the second time she mentioned it, I realised it wasn't Lois talking, it was God. And I got to really thinking about what to do. I know Lois wanted me just to go into the Bognor site and just start into conversations with Trevor, but I just felt like, no, that's not quite right. And a week went past, and I just considered, do I contact him? Directly just contact him and tell him exactly how I feel and want to ask him out. And I thought, you know what? The Holy Spirit's not telling me not to. If anything, he's giving me excitement and joy to actually even thought about contacting him. So I thought, right, I'm going to do it. And I did. And I contacted Trevor, and we went out for our first date. And our journey through that time of our relationship, it hasn't always been easy, because both of us have had an awful lot of emotional upheavals within our lives, and we had to heal. And one of the first things we had to learn to heal with was trust. Sorry, I've lost my place again. But as we went through our journey, we had different people talking to our relationship, not just from this church, but from other churches as well. We went to the Father Heart Conference, and we had people talking to our lives then on just how God had plans for our lives and how he brought us together. We had it confirmed from other people that he had indeed brought us together and how he was going to heal us as well. Turn too many pages. Basically, I'd gone from this lady who had all this emotional baggage, didn't know how on earth she was going to communicate to anyone, let alone form a relationship. And even though I'd been praying constantly for friendships, because I was just so incredibly lonely, at the time I couldn't understand why God wasn't answering. But I do understand now that sometimes God says, no, yes, wait, or I have something better for you. And in my case, he has something better for me. He didn't give me a great big circle of friendships to communicate with. Instead, he gave me a future husband. And he brought us together to heal us for the outside world, to witness this as well. And all I want to say is, if God can do this for me, just imagine what he can do for you.
Isn't that good? You know, God works in all the intricate different details of our lives. And, you know, so in our relationships, and then also, you know, how God worked through the church, you know, as Denise was going through anorexia. And, you know, there's lots of great groups that we do, you know, the Beta group and the Freedom in Christ group and, you know, the Home for a Child group, which is looking into fostering adoption. And, you know, there's lots of different groups that you can connect into a church too. And God can use them for as you get to know people and they can speak his word into your life. And so I just want to encourage you in that. It's good. It's good. It's good, isn't it? As we've been hearing all the way through, God has been using people in the church to speak into different people's lives and support them. It's good. Right. How are we doing? All right. We've got three left. All right. Three more. So, you know, let's have Sarah Harris. Come on, Sarah. Sarah's brilliant. She's looks after our Sparklers group, which does excellent. And she also looks after the group at West Point, which is a big camp that we go to. And she just oversees all our kids work there, and she's fantastic. So yeah, good to have Sarah come and share with us.
Okay. I want to take you back to last January. I turned 60, and I thought, how exciting. I love the next decade, okay? But April, we were preparing to go on holiday, and I had a bloodshot eye and thought, I'll go to the doctors and have it checked because it was aching. And I thought, we're going to Tenerife, and I didn't want it aching over there. So I thought, I'll get something for it. And as I went to the doctors, I said, I've had a funny turn last night, kept on falling over. And the room was spinning like when I was 18 and drunk, you know. So it was horrible. I didn't like the feeling then, and I don't like it now. So I don't drink, by the way, very often. But that's how only way I could relate to it. The next thing, she's phoning an ambulance, and I'm in hospital, and I've had a mini stroke. Oh, that did frighten me. My blood pressure shot sky high, and it wasn't, you know, I mean, the test they did, like touching your nose, I thought was hilarious, because I couldn't touch my nose. And I thought, how stupid that is. And I kept on laughing, but I didn't laugh once they told me why. And I rushed straight up to St. Richard's, and I'm in there 5 days. I had effect on my left side. It was only a mini stroke, thank goodness. And anyone who came to see me thought I was a fraud because I looked really good, as I do now. Okay? Anyway, sorry, everybody. Sorry, couldn't resist it. Anyway, while I was in hospital, and this is really unusual for me, because life groups I've been in, they will know that I've only got to think about God or Jesus, and I know he's there. He wasn't there. And that was a bit frightening, because I thought, where are you? You're always there for me. Where are you? And he reminded me of a scripture that I had in 1990 when I went to Nigeria, and I had a big deliverance there. And those people who are from Nigeria will know that the spiritual awareness is very different than over here. And as I had this deliverance in front of 15,000 people, because that's how big the church was, he gave me this scripture of, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Oh, dear, excuse me. And when I had that deliverance, I felt like I was burning. And he gave that scripture just before I had the deliverance. And I knew when I was going through that he was with me. And that's the scripture I felt then. I was walking through a fire that I didn't know. They keep you in hospital because you might have another stroke. And I'm thinking, am I going to die tonight? Well, if I am, it's okay because I know where I'm going. And I thought that piece about dying, that was okay. But the thing that he wasn't there, and all I could hold on was the scriptures that I knew, that he is with me, you know. And I know he never leaves me, even though I couldn't feel him. Afterwards, for a long time, when I came out of hospital, I'd just go up and make a cup of tea, and that would be exhausting. I'd have to lie down, and I'd lie flat. I came to church, and I just wanted to go to the back there and lie down, because I felt so exhausted. And people who know me know that I don't sit still, you know. I like to do things. And people are saying to me, you're going to give up the things you're doing now, Sarah. You're not going to do West Point. You're not going to... And I said, well, I am. Even my husband wanted me to give up West Point. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't feel God is saying give up. God is saying carrying on. But as I got nearer to West Point, I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? I can't get through a day without sleeping. How am I going to do it? And on top of that, my mother of 89, she is now, wanted to camp with us. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got to deal with her and with the three-year-olds at West Point. And I thought, I'm never going to make it. But anyway, we went ahead with Kylie, who assists me in threes. And we got it off the ground. And do you know, in those 3 days, I didn't sleep once. In the night I did, by the way, but not in the daytime. And I just know that God gave me the grace and the energy and everything, the strength to do that. Am I walking through the fire now? Yeah, I am. I am still walking through a fire, but a different fire, and I'll tell you about that another year. Okay?
Well done. Well done. Actually, we're just going to do one more. Okay, we're going to do one more. I know it's 1:30 and our advertised time is finished, but if we can just do one more and we'll wrap up there. So, Naomi Davis, come up. Naomi's a student here and she's great. She's brilliant. She's part of the Christian Union as well and just doing a fantastic job.
There you go. Oh, thanks, Chris. Hi everyone, I'm Naomi, or Nay, if you haven't met me. I'm a second year, I study music and musical theatre, and I started to come into Grace in September. So I grew up in church, I was always aware of God and loved Sunday school, but I became a Christian for myself when I was 13. Despite this, my teenage years were quite difficult, so I would often dream of uni from quite young, moving away and starting my own life, which sounds really cheesy now, but I do really think, looking back, that God was in that dream, because it made me work so hard at school, which then enabled me to go to uni, where God has just been so faithful and I've grown so much. So my first year was absolutely amazing. I had so much fun. I made the best friends. I lived in Bognor, so I was 10 minutes from the beach, which was great. And I really grew with God in first year as I really learned to rely on him and took more ownership of my faith. So I was really excited to go back to uni after summer, and my expectations were like up here. And I'm not going to lie, second year was been really hard, which I just wasn't expecting. I moved from Bognor to Chichester, which uprooted me more than I thought it would, leaving all my friends. And my course has changed a lot this year, so it's been less enjoyable. And so there's been times where I've been like, Lord, I really don't know why I'm here. But a few Saturdays ago, I was just about to go to sleep when I suddenly remembered one of my friends had said ages ago about maybe coming to church, which I'd forgotten about. And part of me was like, I'm tucked up in bed. There's always going to be another Sunday. But then I felt really prompted to message her. So I did. And she came, which was amazing. And she's here today, which is amazing. And I found the whole thing was really crazy because I had literally been thinking, there's no point in me being in Chichester. I'm not achieving anything. But even in that, God really used me, which was so encouraging. It's as if he was saying, like, it's okay, Nay, trust me, I got this. So if there's one thing I'm always learning and being reminded of, it's God's faithfulness. I've been on the Christian Union Committee this year, as Chris said, which has been a real blessing. Being able to equip other Christian students and then go onto our campus and share the gospel has been so great. I really feel that God has given students such an opportunity at uni to share his message, and I'm so privileged to be able to do that. And that has really helped me to trust God as well in times when I haven't been enjoying my course, because I've been able to see that actually I have been brought here for more than a degree. Lastly, standing here now talking to you, I can say that one thing that has been great about second year has been joining Grace Church. I've been so welcomed, and God really placed a family around me when I really needed it. And I see God's faithfulness in that and in all the people he has used to encourage me, even just asking me how my day is going. And so I just wanted to encourage you today. You may be going through a difficult time, but just to hang in there. I remember someone saying at a prayer meeting, the Christian walk is a series of battles and blessings. And you may be in a battle, but you never know how God is working. I would never think that by just texting my friend when I was half asleep, it would lead to them wanting to get back into church. So even in the battles, I encourage you to really lean into God, trust in him, and know that he has got it.
Wonderful. Fantastic. So, come in. Can the keys come up? We won't sing again, but if the keys can come up, just to remind you of those verses we started with, and they were this: that God, who has begun a good work, if you know him, if you know Jesus, he has begun a good work in you, and that he will continue to be with you and stand with you. And see that good work through to completion. And it's always a good, you know, I love how Naomi ended that there. That, you know, God can use all the different situations of our lives, the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, the different circumstances we go through, to reveal himself to us so that as we walk through them, He gives us peace. He strengthens us. He gives us a church family who can walk through it with ourselves, with each other. He comes in power. And so even in the midst of a real difficult circumstance, have we heard, he can just bring his Holy Spirit in even in those moments. So let's just stand together. I think it'd just be good just to, as we prepare to finish and go and have tea and coffee and get our children, just not to move on from this moment. Let's just take a moment just to pray. Why don't you just take a few moments just to think about God's faithfulness. Why don't you think of one thing that you know God has been with you over this last season? And then why don't you think of something that's coming up ahead over this next season? as you think of those things, I just want to encourage you to give thanks to God. Say, thank you for standing with me in that time. And Lord, I pray that I will know your presence and your spirit in this new season ahead. You know, nothing is a surprise to God. He knows what you're going through. It's not a surprise to him. He knows it. And yet even in it, he calls us to call on him. To stand in him. He is sufficient for all our needs. His grace is sufficient for everything that we need. Father God, I just want to pray. I pray for each and every one of us. Lord God, as we've heard and listened to the testimonies of things that have been going on in people's lives, Lord, I pray would you, just as you have stood with each of those people, Lord God, I pray would you stand with me now. Lord God, as I walk through these things that I've got ahead, I've got some exciting things ahead, I've got some challenging things ahead, Lord, I pray that I would know your presence in them all. Help me, Lord, to follow you, to obey you in it all. Where I might have taken something that doesn't belong to me. Help me to, even in those moments, trust you. Regardless of the consequences, but to trust you and obey you. Lord, in the times where I just felt really low and depressed, help me to trust you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to seek medical advice. Help me to talk to the right people. Father, most of all, I pray, would you help me to knit into this, your church family. Help me, Lord God, to stand side and side with my brother and sister. Help me, Lord God, to open up the things that are going on through my life and so that I can receive support and help, Lord, through them. And over all things, Lord God, I pray, would you fill me with your spirit? Hey, you might not even know him today, but he's here, he's in power. And I want to encourage you, before you go home, why don't you talk to the person that you came with, or come and talk to me, or talk to one of us. You might want to talk to one of the people that shared this morning, ask them about their story. Father, thank you that you are good and you're over all things. We just surrender the rest of this day to you, our lives to you, and we ask, Lord God, would you have your way in our lives? In your name, amen.